This is the Bates Bobcast, our weekly podcast where we take a look at the week that was in Bates Athletics. My name is Aaron Morse, and on this episode, we're recapping another outstanding week for the Bates women's basketball team. The Bobcats went 3-0 and beat a top-5 nationally ranked team for the second time this year. Plus, hear about the longest women's Nordic race in Bates history, a Bobcat hurdler's work with the Women's Sports Foundation, and swimming and diving sweeping aside their rivals from Colby. That's coming up on the Bates Bobcast. The Bates women's basketball team is 11-3 on the year, 3-0 in NESCAC play, and receiving votes in the D3Hoops.com and the WBCA Top 25 polls after defeating St. Joseph's, Amherst, and Hamilton last week. The Amherst victory was particularly impressive, as the Mammoths entered the contest undefeated on the year and ranked third in the country. But the Bobcats emerged with a 52-49 win. The honors rolled in for Bates after Saturday's 71-59 win over Hamilton. Senior Mia Roy scored a game-high 25 points against the Continentals and averaged 17.3 points per game over the last three contests, earning her main try Player of the Week and Female Bobcat of the Week honors. Head coach Allison Montgomery was named the D3 National Coach of the Week by WHoopDirt.com, and both joined the Bobcast to discuss the team's terrific start to the season. Allison, I want to talk about the Amherst game first. Came on a Friday night there against the Mammoths. You'd played them before. What did you learn from the first time you played them?
Yeah, I think it was great that we had an opportunity to play them once before. I think both for just strategy purposes in terms of being able to focus on what we could grow from in that game, just, you know, what we learned on the court, both defensively and offensively, I think. And also just gave our squad, I think, some confidence, right? I think going into that game and going into every game, we feel like we're definitely going to compete in every game and can win in every game that we play. But I think having that opportunity to play Amherst once before, you know, it gave us that confidence as well. And we made a couple adjustments, I thought, that were really important on the court.
And Mia, you were in charge, it looked like, most of the game of guarding their first year point guard, Anling Vera. And she had triple-double the first time Bobcats played the Mammoths. This time she was more quiet. What was your approach defensively?
It was really nice that we got to watch film of me guarding her and the rest of our team guarding her. So she kind of just has this hesitation move that I worked on just staying low for and not standing up so that she couldn't just blow by me, and I feel like it was pretty successful.
What strategy, from your perspective, did it take to kind of contain her and the rest of the team?
Yeah, I think just generally, statistically, they're much more effective when they can get in the paint and create a help rotation and get easy buckets that way. So we really wanted to force them to take shots outside the paint. So, you know, we really wanted to give that kid especially, but all their guards really, a cushion and to force them to pull up, preferably from the three-point line.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they got in the paint, we'd prefer a pull-up, as opposed to if you really try to go out and pressure or reach or lunge, they're going to blow by, create a help rotation, and get easy buckets around the basket. So we were just, you know, based on what happened the first time we played them and obviously seeing them play other people as well as just statistically what they do well, we felt like that was the best strategy.
Right, because they're not really a three-point shooting team.
Right.
And it was funny because up three with 11 seconds left, my broadcast partner and I were talking about, will Bates foul and make them shoot free throws because you're up three, but you decide not to because they're not really a three-point shooting team, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, of course, we talked about that strategy as a coaching staff. I've never been a coach who leans towards that. I think it's like, I do think it can be really smart in moments. I worry a little bit in terms of trying to control too much there. You're leaving some things up to the official, too, in terms of, like, timing of the foul and, you know, so I think, and we haven't really practiced that as a team or talked about as a strategy. It hasn't been a strategy that I have sort of leaned towards. So again, I think it can be a really smart one, but we went with, you know, the pressures on them to make a play and trusting ourselves defensively. And, you know, we also felt like if they threw up a Hail Mary and they got a look at it, you know, because we just really felt like, you know, we got to run them off the line and definitely don't, you know, foul them near the basket to give an opportunity for a 3-point play. But, you know, the worst case scenario there was it was going to be an overtime game. So I think, you know, we just kind of trusted our defense and I let it play out.
Take us through that last play from your perspective.
Honestly, it was kind of a blur. I feel like there was so much happening, a bunch of switches, but we played great team defense and the shot went up. And then I saw her fall down after. We were all, like, worried, but then they called the game off, so we were all excited.
Yeah, I was a little worried, like, are they going to blow a whistle? Because she kind of tried to see.
Which is smart of her. Yeah.
So Amherst, I mean, that game again, that's such a battle, right? Because they're really good defensively. Bates is really good defensively. It seems like every bucket is so important.
Yeah.
How do you approach those games versus maybe a more high-scoring game like Wesleyan the week before?
Yeah. Honestly, we approach them really similarly. I think a game like Amherst, maybe for me as a coach, is a little bit harder in terms of how I might coach our team, because I might want to control possession a little bit more because that's how Amherst plays. But we really lean towards just playing fast and pushing in transition. And, you know, even when we come up with empty possessions, we feel like that puts a ton of pressure on their defense. And the pace of the game, we feel like, really favors us. And so we've just really gone with that sort of style and that tempo. And, you know, like I said, I do have to admit that in a game like the Amherst game, I do feel a little bit more pressure about you know, should we alter our strategy a little bit? But ultimately, we you know, continued with our strategy until the very end of the game where we, you know, managed possession a little bit more, like under 3 minutes. But in general, I feel like it's really important that our team is just who we are and we execute that with confidence and that we dictate and make other teams sort of respond to our pace.
And from your perspective as a player, Mia, I mean, the Amherst blocks so many shots. I mean, it's tough to get shots off, really. How do you approach things offensively there?
I mean, we definitely just had to work for our shot so much, but I think we got a lot of good, I mean, we got a couple more good shots off. So I don't know. It's a lot more tiring of a game because we're working super hard on defense to try and not let them get shots. And then they're doing the same, but, yeah.
You must've been pretty tired after that game, tired, but happy. So how do you come back right away and play the next
game? the next morning, I was so tired. I was like, all right. Prayed to my legs. I was like, gotta do another one, but worked out too. So
obviously, yeah, your legs held up because 25 points there. Allison, what do you notice from Mia? I asked her post game what's been the key to her success offensively over this past year. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, Mia and I were just talking about that. There's actually, in my opinion, absolutely nothing different about Mia's game. I think she's been really consistent in terms of the type of threat she is offensively. I just think some things have come together in terms of just her maturity and her confidence. And I think that has just been, you know, it hasn't wavered at all. And I think she's really found the place where she's stepped into her role and she's sort of actualizing her potential. I think everything I'm seeing from her is nothing that surprises me, or, you know, I feel like she's been the same player her whole career. She's just kind of putting it together with that sort of mental and physical piece. And the other thing I think is, like, our team is just better. Our team is balanced. I think they have a lot of confidence in each other. So I think there's sort of less pressure on any individual player to have to make, you know, every play. And I think when that pressure is a little alleviated and they share that role, I think that can help them just kind of be in the flow a little bit more and just play more freely and play with confidence and rely on each other, that, you know, the whole weight of the world isn't on them on every possession to make a shot. So I think that's a dynamic too for our team as a whole and then each of our individuals who are really playing well.
Yeah, I was going to ask Mia because, you know, you have played with, you know, Megan and Taylor and Ari and you know, all these women for so many years now. I mean, the chemistry, the communication must be fairly easy at this point, right?
Yeah. It's so fun to play offense all as a team because we just have such good communication and we play good chemistry. So, I mean, it's nice. I feel like that game, like, it didn't even feel like I had to create shots. I just got set up with, like, a perfect three. I was like, okay, sweet. I can make this.
Well, you do have that move where you try to hit the fadeaway bank shot, right? You've done that a few times, right?
Yeah. Coach says, I don't know how you feel about the fadeaway. But if it goes in, then she won't complain.
If it goes in, it's fine, right?
No, it's not.
From a coaching perspective, you know, you have a huge win over Amherst. You got to play the next day. Don't want to call it a possible letdown game because it's still a NESCAC game. But how do you come back and tell a team, hey, we got to, you know, get the second one here?
Yeah, I mean, we talked a lot as a team how, you know, Saturday was even more important than Friday. Well, first of all, because it was the game we had that day, and we've tried to be really in the present and take it, you know, a step at a time. But, you know, we're a team that is certainly trying to make our mark and prove something, I think. And, you know, we really want to make a statement that, you know, beating a good team is not a fluke. It's not like we had a great game and they had a down game. And, you know, it's like there's no factor other than, like, we just want to demonstrate that we're capable consistently and that we are playing at a level that's worthy of a championship. So we talked a lot about how important it was to sort of make that statement on Saturday, to demonstrate our consistency and our maturity and just our focus on our ultimate end goal, and a lot of that has to do with taking it step by step and being present each time that we play. So, you know, we talked about that a lot, and I think actually Mia made that point in the locker room, like, today is like almost more important, you know, because like people want to see, can we sustain this? And we know we can, but we have to demonstrate it. So I think they were really motivated by that, which is great to see, because those day two of no matter what kind of game you play on Friday night, and that one was obviously a really emotional one and a hard-fought one, and a lot of people played a lot of minutes, the turnaround to Saturday is a beast. And it was kind of the first time we had to do that this season in the conference, you know, with last week being the standalone game. So it was a good test for us, and, you know, great to see our team rise to that occasion.
Well, you have a standalone game this week as well Tufts, Mia. I mean, you've played Tufts each year. I mean, they're always a good team. What have you noticed from them through the years?
I think that they've just always been a super solid team. They do a couple things differently on defense that I think can throw some teams off, but we're all very experienced playing against them, so I think that it'll be a good game. And we have a week to prepare, which will be nice for just Tufts. So.
Yeah, how much is the Tufts Amherst film going to be relevant?
Very relevant. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, very relevant. Yeah, I was just watching that as Mia came in. Yeah. And, yeah, really, really relevant and really helpful. And like Mia said, it's kind of a nice opportunity this week to just sort of regroup a little bit and prepare for one team. And, we're really excited.
Are they similar to Amherst, completely different?
I don't really think anyone's similar to Amherst.
Okay.
They're just a little, I think they're a little bit different. You know, their pace is different, and, you know, they're a little deeper. Amherst is always sort of, and they just, like, control possession a little bit more. But, they're different, and I wouldn't say one is, you know, better than the other, really. They present different challenges, and that's kind of been the dynamic with those two teams, you know, since we've prepared against them since I've been here. So, yeah, they definitely, you know, that's another thing we talked about as a team going into the Hamilton game is, like, in our conference, I mean, sure, there's been some powerhouses that, you know, have demonstrated a really long tradition of success. But every single game in this conference, like, each team presents a different challenge. And Hamilton presented its own unique challenge that was so different than Amherst. And we knew that was going to challenge us in certain ways. And so you have to be ready to confront each of those challenges, I think, every NESCAC game. And so, Tufts will definitely challenge us with their style and their brand.
One thing that stood out to me about Bates' year, Mia, is the second chance opportunities everyone's getting because of Bree Gailetta, because of Taylor McVeigh, because of Ariana Dalla, this rebounding. As a guard, how cool is that to know that they're there in case you do miss, right?
Yeah, no, it's so nice, and it's so defeating for the other team, too. So I think we've gotten a lot of buckets off of second chance opportunities, so it's really nice to get those.
And Allison, how do you approach that strategically? Because, I mean, they are Bree's a great leaper. Taylor boxes people out. I mean, it's good.
We emphasize it a lot. Like, I've always been, like, offensive rebounding for me has always been a huge part of, I think, being successful. And we, over the last few games, we've watched a lot of film clips. Like, so rather than just watching a film clip and say, like, here's successful execution of an offense, or, like, here's Mia making a really tough shot, it's more like, no, watch that little bit of extra effort that Bree was able to make there, or Taylor was able to make there, or Ari was able to make there to get that tip or to just push that kid underneath. Like, it's, you know, it's a game of inches sometimes where you just make that little bit of extra effort and what results is another opportunity for your team. And so we watched a ton of film clips where, you know, the people who are putting the ball in the bucket, you know, it's oftentimes because of just that little bit of extra effort, focus, grit, toughness, elbow grease, whatever you want to call it. And those things are really important in our program, and we really try to celebrate and value those as much as, like, you know, Mia's three-point shot going through the bucket. You know, it's just as important. So I think really showing that to them and finding ways to value it in practice. And we have women on our team who value that, right? Because it can be something to manage on a team in terms of roles. And, you know, everyone wants to be the guy. But, like, it's just so important to demonstrate to them how important every role is and you know, every possession is. And there's so many things that happen on a basketball court besides the ball going through the net, so...
Excellent. And Mia, what's your dynamic like working, I guess, with Megan Graff specifically? Because you're both guards. She's more of the point guard, but you're more off ball. How does that relationship work?
I think it's really nice having someone that's just such a solid player. You know, she's such a good driver. So it's really nice when she drives and my defender collapses and she can kick it out to me, or she can push in transition. I think we work well, really well together. We have different roles. So it's awesome.
And then, Allison, do you have our thoughts on the season so far? Because it is a great start, but still the gauntlet remains, right? You still have Tufts. You still have a conference game with Bowdoin. You still got Trinity on the schedule, right?
Oh, gosh. Like I said, every game, yeah. And I, you know, I felt this even kind of before our break, right? Like getting the feedback for, oh, like, you know, we got to win against a ranked team. And so we got a little nod at being ranked. And then, you know, off to a start. Like, you know, and that's great. And that's, like, great motivation for our team. I'm so happy that the women on our team are getting these tangible results of all the work that they put in. That is really important, but it is balancing that with, you know, like approaching our Hamilton game. One of the things we did is just drew like a huge target with an arrow in the middle. Like, it's really fun to be successful, but what you have to understand is like it creates a whole lot more responsibility in terms of people being ready to play their best game against you and sort of what it can mean then if they beat you. And it's a whole other dynamic. And so while success is what everyone is hunting for and everybody hopes for, like, I think you got to pay attention to the challenges that brings. So, yeah, like you said, it's a strong start, and that's wonderful, but it's nothing more than that. Like, we have a vision and an end goal, and I think every day matters as we work towards that, you know, every day in practice. And so it's maintaining, I think, just our ability to keep getting better on the basketball court, but also chemistry and camaraderie and the right kind of mindset and staying humble and all those things, which I do believe our team does a really good job of. But it's early, and there's a lot of road ahead, and there's a lot of factors, and there's even additional factors this year that just kind of make you sort of appreciate every single day and understand that things can change at any minute. So that's exactly been my response when we get sort of flooded with like, oh my god, like, great. So yeah, well, we got a lot of work to do. And there's a lot that's ahead. So I think we definitely have that mentality for sure.
And then, Mia, any other thoughts you wanted to share about the season so far we haven't got to talk about?
No, I think Coach summed it up pretty well. Just trying to stay humble, chip away. Each win's big, so that's what we're looking for.
There we go. Mia Roy, Austin Montgomery, thanks so much. Appreciate you joining us on the Bobcast.
Thank you.
The swimming and diving teams are rolling as well. The Bates women and men swept Colby in a dual meet Saturday in Waterville. The women are ranked 13th in the country, and the men are receiving votes in the latest CSCAA Top 25 polls. And they host Bowdoin this Saturday at 1 p.m. at Tarbell Pool. For the women, first-year Sophia Karai won the 100 and 200-yard backstrokes on Saturday, events she had not really trained for entering the meet. Well, Sophia, first of all, tell us about the backstroke against Colby. You hadn't really been training for it, but you swam it, and it worked out really well, right? What went through that process?
I just kind of approached the two back the way I approached my two free, which I had been training all season, and I just wanted to go out there and race and just beat the people next to me, and I ended up winning the heat, which was super cool, and it was really refreshing to swim something different than I had been swimming all season, and it was just really fun to swim, and I really enjoyed it.
And the women are undefeated this year. What's the year been like so far from your perspective?
Oh, it's been super cool coming in as a first year and having an undefeated season so far. It's just made me realize how much college sports are just so fun, and like college swimming I really enjoy. And the team has just, it's been a blast. And being undefeated is just like such a cool thing to experience as a first year, because I've never really experienced been on a team that wins things. So it's just made me really excited for NESCAC's coming up and how deep our team is.
And you're from Oregon, so tell me how Bates got on your radar for college.
So I knew I wanted to go somewhere good academically, but also really fast. And talking with PC, he really sold me on how close the team is and how good the environment is. And I, coming from a small team, I know how important it is to have fast girls and girls who can push each other to train better and be faster. And he really just sold me on that team environment because I realized how important it is, and I'm so happy I ended up coming here.
So were you looking Northeast, or what were you?
I was kind of looking at smaller liberal arts schools on the East Coast, just kind of kind of wanted to go somewhere new. Mm. I'd never really been on the East Coast. And I just, my mom's friend made me a list of colleges, and she put Bates on the list, and I just ended up randomly deciding to email him one day. It wasn't really on my radar, and then I'm really happy I chose to come here.
Terrific. And then what's been the highlight of the season so far maybe for you?
The highlight was definitely one of our first dual meets against Wesleyan and Wheaton. Our two free relay pulled off a win against Wheaton. We didn't think we were going to win the relay, and we had to win it to win the meet. And that was just one of the most exciting experiences. Like, that's definitely the best, like, the biggest highlight of my career. I think it's going to be for a while.
Yeah, I feel like when it all comes down to the relay, that happens sometimes. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it was insane. Like, I've never experienced something like that. And everyone was cheering afterwards, and my team was hugging. And it was just one of the coolest experiences that I've ever had.
We mentioned off air, you're good friends with Sophie Cassily, who's also had a lot of success early on. What's that relationship like?
We just really push each other in the pool every day. You know, we are in the same training group. We don't swim very similar things, but we still find ways to, like, push each other in and out of the pool. She has really just been my partner through us all, like, both coming in first years, having the same name. It's been kind of funny, but, no, I couldn't ask for a better training partner, definitely.
Excellent. Then what are some goals you have in your mind for the rest of the season?
I really want to final at NESCAX and see, like, go best times in all my events would be great. It would be super cool to see if one of our relays could win NESCAX. Our relays are super solid and strong, and my connection with those girls is great. So it'd just be so cool to win those girls and win with some seniors that I wouldn't get a chance to win with next year.
And when did you start swimming growing up competitively, you would say?
I started swim team when I was in fifth grade, and I got pretty serious right when I started. I got really involved in getting time cuts and really wanting to go to big meets. So as soon as I started, really, I just really got into it.
And so you knew you wanted to swim in college fairly soon, it seems like?
Yeah, when I was around fifth grade, I remember seeing the older kids in my team practice, and then they went off to college swimming. And a few times I was, like, hesitant. Growing up, I was like, do I really want to swim in college? But in the end, I was like, you know, I've trained my whole life for this. I have to at least give myself a shot. And I'm really glad I did, because it's been amazing.
On the men's side, senior captain Peter Corey was named the NESCAC Men's Swimming and Diving Performer of the Week after he won the 50 and 100-yard freestyle races against Colby. On top of that, Corey helped Bates win the 400 free relay and the 200 medley relay. After chatting with Corey last week on the Bobcast, this week we're joined by his fellow senior captain, Jack Johnson. Johnson won the 100-yard breaststroke on Saturday and finished second in the 200-yard breaststroke and the 200-yard IM. According to head coach Peter Casares, Johnson is on fire this season for Bates. And Jack Johnson is our male Bobcat of the week.
Male Bobcat of the week, Jack Johnson with us here on the Bobcast, talking some men swimming and diving. And Jack, first of all, let's talk about the Colby meet every year, it seems like. It's always a great one for both the men and the women, a battle out there. What was it like this past Saturday?
The Colby meet was so exciting, and it always is. Colby being one of our biggest rivals, we love to race them, and we love to, even more, we love to beat them. Yeah, we were expecting a close meet. They were fast at Maine State. Mm-hmm. And so it was just super exciting to be able to race our rivals in a nice pool and then come out with a win.
Yeah, I was going to say, Maine State, Colby was faster in that one, but it was a different scoring, I know. So what changed besides maybe the scoring system, perhaps?
Yeah, the scoring system. And then I think we've just done a lot of really good quality training the past month and a half. And we've, like, gotten to know each other really well compared to, like, the beginning of the season, and, like, the team culture and camaraderie is all there.
So as a senior captain, how do you work with Peter Corey, your fellow senior captain, to lead the Bobcats, if you will?
Oh, yeah. Peter's one of my best friends, so we work together really nicely. Yeah, he's more of a sprinter, and I'm more of an endurance swimmer. So we can tackle like different sides of the team, and then we also can come together really nicely when it's like a big whole team event.
And you swam the breaststroke this weekend, right? What makes that stroke something that you're good at? What do you like about it?
Yeah, I mean, I've been a breaststroker for like my whole swim career, and it is something that has come pretty naturally to me. So I've always enjoyed swimming the breaststroke.
How did you first get started swimming competitively?
So my older sister, who graduated from Bates in 2020, Hannah Johnson.
Okay, right.
Yep. So she was always in the pool.
Yeah.
And then as just a young child, I was always like watching her swim. And then it just happened that I started taking lessons and followed that similar path.
Well, that's it. She had a lot of success at Bates swimming-wise. Did you always think, oh, I'll be following her to Bates?
I didn't always think that, but it happened that that's where I wanted to go after my recruit trip. Mm-hmm. And when I was here, I got like the feeling that I wanted to spend the next 4 years swimming here.
What about Bates gave you that feeling?
I think for me is probably like just when I first got here, spending time with the team, people wanted to get to know me and talk to me. Talking with Coach Casares and Vanessa. I felt like that, the feeling of like, this is where I should be.
Great. And then you mentioned Peter being one of your best friends. He was NESCAC Performer of the Week this week for what he did. What's it like watching all his success as well?
Yeah, super proud of Peter. Peter's a great swimmer, a great guy, and I love to see him do well in the pool.
And then, relays, he was on a couple of relays. I know. Do you get involved with relays as well?
I swim a few relays, yeah. But my events tend to be like the longer events, so like the 400 IM and then 200s, and there's not many relays for longer distance events.
So some shorter races for you kind of this past weekend then, 100?
Yeah, sometimes I dabble in the 100 breast, but so yeah, 100 breast was a shorter event for me.
Yeah, and then I know you got runner-up to one of your teammates in a couple of the events. That must have been interesting in the first year, right?
Yeah, Jay Wu. Mm. Jay Wu and I are great training partners, so I really enjoyed training with him this past season. He's a hard worker, and it's really fun to swim with him.
Well, yeah, as a senior captain, it's got to be encouraging to see a first year come in and be so successful right away. Right?
Yeah, I love that. Passing on like the breaststroke I am to him, it's great.
Exactly, and so now boating this weekend, right, at Tarbell, it's going to be your lone home meet of the year. I know we're going to have a capacity limit and stuff, but I mean, what are you most looking forward to about this weekend?
Yeah, so our last home meet, just taking it all in. I love Tarbell, spent a lot of time here, and with like my senior teammates. So yeah, just like appreciating every last moment. And of course, swimming Bowdoin will be fun. Yeah. They're a fast team. So it's gonna be exciting to race them too.
Well, every time I talk to Peter, he's always talking about the CBB and how important it is. How do you see it from your perspective?
Yeah, CBB is a fun thing. And that's always one of our goals in the beginning of the season to win CBB. And it's typically like pretty close between like Bowdoin and Colby. It's always like a toss up. So it would be really great to come away with the CBB title to finish it all off.
Yeah, the last time obviously the Bobcats competed and won the CBB was a couple years ago there, that dramatic meet against Colby at Tarbell. What do you remember about that one?
Oh yeah, that was like one of the most exciting moments like ever in my life. I remember just like that last relay being on the side of the pool and like just like my body like jumping out of control. I was so excited.
Great. Well, what are your thoughts on the season so far? What are you most looking forward to going forward?
Yeah, thoughts on the season. It's been really good. We've gotten a lot of like good quality training in. The team works together really nicely, so that's always exciting to see. And we've gotten a lot of like fast races in swimming, and I think there's a lot more of that to come. So it's exciting. Like our training, we're training hard, and we're ready to go fast, and we'll be even more ready to go fast in NESCACs.
Sounds good. Jack Johnson, Mill Bobcat of the Week, Senior Captain, Bates Men's Swimming and Diving. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
The skiing teams competed in the Colby Carnival over the weekend, the first carnival of the 2022 season. The Nordic teams only got to compete in one event as the classic races were postponed to a later date due to weather. But Friday's 20K freestyle made a little history. It was the first women's 20K skate ever. at a collegiate race. Senior captain Olivia Skillings led the way for the Bates women with a 21st place finish.
I had toured a lot of schools, a lot of similar schools, a lot of NESCACs, but I was looking for a place to ski, and the coaches expressed interest, and I came, and I kind of just fell in love with the people here and everyone I talked to, and obviously the coaches are amazing, and I think that was kind of the final hurrah for me was just, yeah, the pull of the team and the people that I spoke to here.
I was going to say, Becky Woods has been a coach here since 1994. She was a skier here herself, class of 1989. What about her makes the program so special?
Oh, she's great. She's just so experienced, and she's very, very energetic and very positive, and she can really get us all excited about skiing, I think, which is really contagious, and I think that's where a lot of our success comes from, is having someone like her to push us and inspire us every day. And just like her wealth of knowledge about skiing and about racing is just so powerful.
Well, she told me she puts a lot on the captain. So what are some of your responsibilities this year?
Oh, well, I guess it totally depends. Now that we're in season, it's just a lot of, I think what I think about is like team dynamics and making sure everyone feels comfortable and listened to and respected and uplifted by each other, so that our team is working together and not, we don't have any cliques or weird dynamics inside of it. So that's something that I am really concerned about. But then there are also like logistics, like driving the van and figuring out who needs what food at races and what time we're supposed to be at races and leading warm-ups and just, but like, I guess like what I think of as my duties are just making sure that everyone feels respected and comfortable and supported to do the best that they can.
I always ask people this, but like for you, Nordic skiing, why Nordic over Alpine, the other skiing we have here at Bates?
Oh, well, I guess when I was younger, I had the option to choose between Nordic or Alpine, and I love going Alpine skiing and going fast down the hills, but I think I wanted something that like tested my fitness more. I guess, I mean, obviously there's quite a bit of fitness and athleticism in downhill skiing, but I think that's something that pushed myself in a more like aerobic way every day was something I was looking for in my younger self. And then I just kind of put in a lot of time, and now here I am.
When you first put on some skis, when you first got into the sport?
Well, competitively in sixth grade, I just did middle school races, but I think seriously competitively halfway through high school, I started to be like, okay, I want to pursue this. But before it was just kind of like a fun, like, oh, go out and ski. Oh, I guess we'll do a race. Then we'll see what happens. And then halfway through high school, I was like, okay, I think that this is what I want to pursue.
And have you seen yourself grow as a Nordic skier over your three-plus years now at Bates?
Oh, I definitely have come so far. I think that I've overcome a lot of mental struggles. It's really hard to do what we do every weekend, and I think that something that I've really worked to overcome is the pressure I put on myself racing, and I feel like now I have a much better outlook on it than I have ever. And I'm just trying to make it fun and, you know, find the joy in it every day. And I think that that's something that has taken 4 years of practice. And I did not have as a freshman. I was like all over the place, very competitive and putting a lot of pressure on myself to do well. And so now I'm just trying to enjoy every moment of it.
Great. Well, then in collegiate Nordic racing, there's two types. There's classical technique and there's freestyle. And there's different distances. This past weekend at Colby Carnival was, I guess, I saw on Instagram, I trust it, the first ever 20K freestyle, they call it skate race, for the women in collegiate skiing history. What was that like for you to be involved with that? And you got, I think, what, 21st?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Well, I really advocated for equal distance in sports. I really wanted the chance to go 20K because I watched the men do it, and I was like, I think I can do that. I want to try. So I was a big advocate for that, I think, and having it happen was amazing. It definitely felt historical because people were definitely noticing this is the first time men and women are going the same distances. And the race itself was like the hardest thing I've ever done. It hurt so badly, but overall it was just like an awesome experience to go that far and to know that I can go that far.
So mass start for the women, but 20K. Normally it's like what, 15K?
Yeah, 15K.
So the extra 5K, how'd you prepare for that?
Oh gosh, well, I knew I had the fitness to do it, and we've been working really hard all summer and fall, so I knew that I was ready for the extra 5K, but when after we, like, gone around and we reached 15K, I, like, was like, oh, I get why they stop us now. Like, my legs hurt so badly and everything. Like, I want to give up so much, but I didn't. But the extra 5K was definitely the hardest part and something I didn't realize was going to hurt as much as it did.
So freestyle versus classic, which do you kind of prefer?
Probably classic.
Okay.
Also, this year, I've been doing a lot more freestyle, so I'm definitely stronger in it at this moment, but I love classic skiing.
What about classic do you like so much?
I think it's harder, And so I like the little technique things that make it fun. And it's also this is a silly reason, but it's easy to socialize with people when you're classic skiing because you take up less room. And so it's fun to do as a team because we can all like kind of chat and go next to each other.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, because freestyle is more like you're spread out kind of. Yeah. Like, yeah, that way you're skiing. Interesting. So yeah. You can actually talk during the race or just during?
Small communications. Yeah. Not really. I can't usually talk.
No, not during the race, no. And obviously, unfortunately, you only had the freestyle this weekend because the other one was postponed. But, I mean, how's the team coming together? What does the team kind of look like overall, from your opinion?
I think this team is everything to me, and it's definitely the best team I've ever been on. And I think the talent is all really young, but I think that's what makes it so special. We have 10 first years, and they're all so energetic, and they're all so excited about skiing. And it's definitely, like, uplifting to me, and it makes me want to be there every day, and it makes me excited to train. And I think I personally think that after, like, all fall, like, learning how we work together, because we didn't really have a season last year, so everything is all new, but learning how we work together as a group has made us a lot stronger, and I think that results are going to come from this, like, team that we formed socially, I guess, if that makes sense. So we've put in a lot of time in social dynamics and how we work together, and I think that the results will follow. And we also, I think we did well. I mean, everyone finished the race, and to me, like, 20K right. for a bunch of 18-year-olds because we have it's majority freshmen, like that is a huge accomplishment, and I'm just so proud of all of them for pushing through because it's mentally really challenging as well as physically. So I think that we're just going to get faster and better.
And one of the younger skiers on the team is your younger sister, right? What's that like having your sister on the team now?
Oh, it's great. I think she definitely like holds me accountable to be my best self all the time because she can tell when I'm starting to slip or starting to lose it a little bit, and she can I see her there and I'm like, okay, pull it together. She's watching. She knows. But she's great. She's also like so talented, and so it's fun to train with her and to work with her and to watch her, you know, go through it all. And when I see her in races, I like makes me like, I'm like, oh, I have to go. Like Eliza's watching. Like, believe it's something bigger than just like she's like more than a teammate, I guess, if that makes sense.
Certainly. And then you touched on the year without competition. How did you kind of handle that?
Well, I was bummed for sure, but I also took the chance to train a lot more, and I went and lived up north in my cabin with a bunch of friends, and we just skied every day.
Okay.
And I think that putting in that extra time and also just, like, reigniting my love for skiing made it a lot easier to come back this year with the kind of fire that we need.
Excellent. So, yeah, well, tell us more about that experience. I mean, that sounds like something that, you know, movie, right? You're just training in the cabin with a bunch of friends, right? From high school or from Bates?
From Bates.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a great time. It was like not very well heated, so it was always cold, and we had to, you know, start fires, and water was kind of an issue sometimes. You didn't have running water, so it was kind of an adventure. But...
How far north were you?
Okay, we were just at Sugarloaf.
Oh, okay.
But like not in a condo on the mountain. We were like 20 minutes south from it, I think.
Gotcha.
On a lake. So that was a great time, and it was so cold too, like being outside all the time.
What are some of your goals for the team and for yourself for the remainder of the season? Well, half carnival down, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think for the team it's just to keep improving and to keep pushing ourselves and to come to practice and races and be our most supportive and encouraging, but also our fastest selves, and I think that we're going to only get faster, and so I just am excited to see how that goes. And for the team, I definitely, like, we have some goals, like, to win the Chummy Cup and random, you know, result goals like that. But I think overall, like, something that I'm focused on is just making sure everyone is reaching their fullest potential every day. And yeah, just, you know, see where that takes us. And I guess also another one is just staying healthy as a team because of COVID and the flu and all that stuff. And then individually, I mean, I would love to continue to perform how I did this weekend and I guess, like, see where that takes me, but also just, like, keep improving every weekend and keep a really good mental mindset. And obviously the goal is always NCAAs, but I have no idea.
Well, I was going to say, 20K skate, are we going to see more of that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, is that now the standard?
Yeah, we have another one at the end of the season, and then we have 2 15Ks.
Gotcha. Okay, so we'll see more of that later on. Okay, great. Thank you so much for joining the Bobcast. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
The Alpine skiing teams performed well in both the giant slalom and the slalom over the weekend. Senior captain Ari Van Vuren led the way in the GS with a ninth place finish on Friday, matching the best carnival performance of his career. Then the Bates women and men combined to place five Bobcats in the top 30 of the slalom races on Sunday. Sophomore Bo Underhill impressed in his carnival debut competing with the Bobcats, placing 20th in the GS and leading Bates with an 18th place showing in the slalom. Well, Bo, finally, you got your first carnival, right? You're a sophomore, but didn't have a season last year. What was the experience like out there?
The experience was amazing. To finally get to ski for Bates and get out there, where last year we did a few carnivals, but it was all independent. So it was just great to finally get out there and ski for the college.
Also interesting. So individually, you did get a few one-ins?
Yeah, we had a few, but since we could only do them in early February, I think, before school started, because then we couldn't leave the state. So
gotcha.
Yeah. So it was just kind of fitting in races.
What was the team like out there? I mean, obviously the men, really good job in the slalom there on Sunday, right?
The team, awesome. So much support for everyone, no matter what. It's when it's cold out, like, and even when it's not, we're getting each other's jackets and stuff, lapping around, cheering everyone on. And it was just, I don't know, the slalom was just a good atmosphere. It's one of my favorite events, and just was able to finally put down a good run. First run, get up, move up about 40 spots, and then put down another faster one for second run. So
yeah, for those who don't know, obviously for it's two runs and you have a good time in the first run. Do you feel some pressure on the second run at that point?
A little bit. I mean, first runs is, especially where I was starting like in the 60s. So you got to put it up in the top 30 to get a good starting position for second run. And luckily I was able to do that. But second run, I mean, there's pressure, but all you're trying to do at this point is just ski fast. And I was able to do that. So I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, because when you start around the 60th spot, the course has been...
Yeah, it would have already had about 60 racers on it before me. So the snow, it was really good snow, but it does deteriorate a little bit. So luckily, not enough where I couldn't still ski fast. So.
And then, I mean, coming in, what were your expectations maybe? And did you feel like you fulfilled them?
I would say I did.
Yeah.
I was my expectations for both events, so on Friday and then rescheduled on Sunday, were to get in the flip and then have a solid second run and score points for once we get going in the season after the first 2 weeks, it'll be based on points on in your top 30. So I was hoping to punch in there, get up there, and then get a starting position for the third week.
It was cool to see the team get, well, four on the men's side and one on the women. Yeah. Top 30s in that slalom.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome. We have some pretty fast freshmen that are just also, I mean, same boat as me, first carnival. So
right.
Really fun to see everyone skiing fast.
And I want to give a shout out to senior captain Ari Van Vuren, because he had quite the giant slalom
on
Friday there, ninth. You know, the GS, first of all, tell me about what makes Ari so good at the GS, and then what makes the GS maybe similar or different from the slalom, in your opinion?
So GS, if for people that don't know, is slightly more spaced out. So it's about 23 to probably 28-meter turns. So it's a lot faster. And Ari, I'd say that's probably his better event when he does well with it. And he's been pushing us all fall just to get stronger, work out in the gym and stuff. And since we started training, dealing with a few injuries and stuff, but he's been the head of our team for the last, I'd say, like 3 years, one of the faster guys. So it's always good to have someone to follow and push to beat.
Has he talked about his experience in NCAAs where he got to compete in one event and then the other one got canceled?
A little bit.
Yeah.
He wasn't too excited, obviously.
No.
Pretty much the same thing as with everyone else.
Yeah.
Like, we all had to go into quarantine, but he just had a great experience, I think, with going out there. And you get to see these ski racers that are almost pushing onto the World Cup. So it's pretty amazing even just to make it to that level and get to ski with them. So
tell me a little bit about you growing up. When did you start skiing competitively?
So I grew up in Mount Sunapee in Newberry, New Hampshire. And my mom actually runs the Alpine program there.
Okay.
So I was skiing from when I was two and started racing all the way through. So it was really... Yeah, I grew up just racing a lot. I actually have an identical twin brother who races for Middlebury at this moment in time.
He's
freshman there. So I was lucky enough to race against him all the way through, and then even now still racing against him at the carnivals.
So, yeah, there is a Middlebury Carnival, right?
Yep, there's Middlebury
Carnival. Looking forward to that?
I'm looking forward to that, yeah.
How's he doing? Is he on the, carnival team?
Yeah, so he was actually second in the GS. And
so pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. And then he was Ended up 16th in the slalom, but I beat him second round, so I was pretty happy.
You beat him the second round. Okay, yeah. nice. Yeah. So, identical twins, so he took a gap year then?
So I actually took two gap years before coming to school.
Okay.
He made the USG team going into his third gap year, and so he was on there for 1 year, and then took a break and decided to go to school.
So you two pretty competitive then?
We're pretty competitive, and we're pretty equal, I'd say, with everything. I mean, he starts ahead of me with the point stuff, but I'm always chasing him, trying to catch him. So.
Yeah, you can get better positioning for, like, the third carnival, right? You'll be right there with him.
Yeah, better positioning, and it's just use that positioning to your advantage and attack as much as possible.
Nice. And then you also do a little golfing. Tell us about that.
I do. So our family, we actually own a driving range in New Hampshire. Mm. So I grew up golfing. I work at a golf course, spend a lot of time with it, and coming to school – last year, I decided to send the previous coach, Henry, an email and ask if I could join the team. He said yes. So I was able to spend last year on the team and then compete in NESCAC for Bates. Mm. And hopefully I can get back on. I was on it this year, but it's hard to deal with two sports at once.
Right.
So in the spring, I should be able to get enough practice in and hoping to play some more.
What's a more frustrating sport, golf or skiing? They're both pretty frustrating.
I would say golf.
Okay.
Golf's a lot more mental than skiing. Where skiing, it's like you, as long as you put in the work in the off season, you're prepared. Where golf, you can put in the work every single day, and you still go out and you have a horrible day, no matter what. But both sports bring their own challenges, and you gotta always get better. I'm looking every day to get better. So
great. What goals do you have for yourself and for the team, maybe?
I would for myself. I want to first push into that top 15 positions for skiing. And, I mean, my end goal is to make the NCAAs. And at the moment, I put myself in a good position to keep continuing to get better. So I'm happy about that. But for the team, I want to be able to push each other. So we a junior on our team, Crawford Jones.
Yep.
I went to high school with him.
Okay.
And he's been skiing extremely fast. So I'm hoping that he DNF'd on a Friday.
Mm.
But in future, he should be able to punch in there as well. So I want to get three or four skiers that are consistently in the top 30 and fighting to move up every time.
How do you balance? You mentioned like skiing fast, but how do you balance like skiing fast but also staying in control? I feel like that'd be so difficult.
Yeah, it's kind of just a lot of training.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had thousands of hours on skis all the way through high school, done, I don't know, countless trips to Europe to take trips in the summer and up on the glaciers. So get a lot of practice with it, and it's just about learning to balance that speed and control and then put it to get the best time.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, we look at the schedule. We cover the carnivals for GoBaseBobcats.com, but you're doing all sorts of different events, right? I mean, you travel all over the place.
Yeah, I think we already have about 10 to 12 races this year so far, and we've traveled to New Hampshire, to over Sugarloaf, and then it's on the river mostly to do a lot of races. But that's the whole thing about skiing is it's not just about carnivals.
Yeah.
We still go to the races, still compete, and it's a long season from early December to potentially early April. So
you touched on this earlier, I think, but what made Bates the place for you coming out of high school? You said two gap years.
Yep,
two but then what years. Made eventually Bates where you wanted to go?
So I toured my senior year of high school, and I just felt like this is the school I wanted to go to.
Yeah.
Just people, the atmosphere, and everything. So I applied my first year. Unfortunately, didn't get in.
Okay.
But then I talked to the coach, concentrated, applied ED, was able to get in. Mm. And I just kind of knew that this base was the school I wanted to be at. So far, it's lived up to exactly what I wanted. So very excited.
Excellent. What are your thoughts you want to share about this past weekend we haven't got to talk about?
No. I'd say just overall, good team good team win, I'd say. I mean, it's first carnival. It's definitely tough, but overall, we have places where we can get better, and we have places where we excelled. So I'm really looking forward to continuing with our team all the way through.
All right, St. Michael's Carnival this weekend.
Yep, St. Mike's over at Smug's on the backside of Stowe. So
I assume you've skied it before?
I have.
Yeah.
I skied it once. So.
Oh, okay.
Yep, pretty excited to get back on it.
Excellent. Bo Underhill, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Aaron.
The track and field teams travel to Cambridge on Saturday to take on the host MIT Engineers and the University of Southern Maine. Both teams finished second to the hosts in the first indoor meet for the Bobcats in nearly 2 years. On the women's side, the Bobcats won 5 events, with senior captain Amanda Kaufman winning the 60-meter hurdles in her return to Bates after taking a leave of absence last year. She joins the Bobcast to talk about the meet and her work with the Women's Sports Foundation.
Amanda, the first meet of the year, the first meet in quite some time in indoor track and field for the Bates women this over the weekend. Tell us how it went.
Overall, it was an incredible first meet. I feel like everybody kind of had a really good rust buster. There was no kind of big mishaps or anything, and everyone just was kind of happy to get the first meet out of the way and get the ball rolling.
So for you winning the 60-meter hurdles, what was it like to get back out there in a competition?
Yeah, it was honestly, describing it's pretty hard just because I haven't competed in so long. Yeah. It was weird. Like, I felt nervous and excited, but a lot of it was just, like, remembering how to compete again. But I did kind of come back like nothing, which was great. But, yeah, overall it was just, like, kind of a whirlwind of a lot of really great emotions. So,
yeah, for you it's been 2 full calendar years, basically.
Basically, yeah. March of 2020. Yeah. So basically 2 full years.
So how'd you use the time to, you know, stay with your fitness, staying in shape, preparing to one day come back and compete?
Yeah, it was tough, as kind of for every athlete in COVID. A lot of adapting and running outside. For my 21st birthday, I asked for a weight set for our basement. So I was lucky enough to have kind of a nice little home gym set up. But it was definitely very lonely doing that alone and hard to kind of stay motivated. But luckily, I was able to kind of be on team Zooms and whatnot and kind of still feel connected to the team in some ways. But happy to be back finally. Yeah.
What is it like being back with all these women 2 years later?
It honestly is like I never left. Uh-huh. And for the freshmen and sophomores who I'm just meeting now, it really kind of feels like I've known them forever, which is really weird, but really, really great. I definitely was a little nervous kind of coming back, being kind of a year behind now, not really knowing too many people, but it was, like I said, like I never left. So it's been really, really heartwarming.
Terrific. And you're one of the captains, as we mentioned. So what's that like? What's that extra responsibility, I guess?
Yeah, so I think also being kind of a super senior, I feel a little bit more like the mother of the team, which is very weird because I remember being in the position where I looked up to the senior captains in that sort of same position. But it's great. I really just like really love being here and being a leader for all these women and getting to know all of them. So
now tell us about the internship you've been doing and are still doing, right?
Yeah, so my year off, I got connected to the Women's Sports Foundation, which was founded by Billie Jean King, and they do a lot of really, really awesome work as far as advancing women's sports and advocating for women in sport. So yeah, I got started with that in September of 2020, I think, or no, 2021 at that point. That would make sense. So yeah, it went from kind of being an internship to a job through AmeriCorps Vista, and I'm still kind of working for them part-time. And doing kind of a lot of researchy things here and there, but it's been a great network that's definitely like piqued my interest and helped me a lot deciding like what I want to do after Bates, and honestly just like made me even more excited to be involved in sports at Bates and be captain of a women's team at Bates.
Have you gotten a chance to meet Billie Jean King at all?
No, no, not even on a Zoom with her. I know, I know. I think the most exciting thing was I was on a Zoom that had a recording of Tom Brady, which I guess was okay. Kind of cool. But yeah, no, I would love to at some point. Hopefully, I haven't even really met my boss in person at all. It's been all virtual.
Right.
But it's really crazy how small of an organization they are with the kind of national and even a little global reach that they have. It's really cool.
You mentioned research. What's one of the more interesting things you've kind of looked up, I guess, or discovered about it?
Yeah, so kind of the two main projects that I was involved in, one was a sports-based youth development curriculum, which is a mouthful, for girls, and that was kind of something out of my comfort zone a little bit. I've never really done stuff targeted for like youth, but it was really awesome, and it, like I said, it again like fostered a lot of passion, and it was really cool to see how sports can be used to like be really powerful in the lives of youth, and especially youth who are under-resourced and don't have access to a lot of things. And then another big thing is the 50th anniversary of Title IX, which is coming up this February. And as an athlete, as a female athlete, you'd think that you would know a lot about Title IX, but I have learned a bunch about what it does and kind of the rights that we all have under Title IX. So that's been really eye-opening, and also kind of teaching my teammates about that and spreading kind of awareness like, hey, did you know that this is what Title IX actually is? And kind of seeing that in action.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, because like, you look at the history of bait sports, for instance. I mean, the history of women's sports at baits is much shorter, unfortunately, than the men, right? I mean, but like to this point, such a great track and field team. I mean, what's it like to where we are at now, I guess?
Yeah, it's really crazy because even Coach Jay kind of talks about her own experience competing in college and being at one of the first NCAA meets for women, which is nuts to think that that was only, you know, a few years ago. So really the timeline of Title IX in women's sports is so short. So I think it really just like makes me feel extra grateful to have the opportunities that I have. But then again, we also still have a lot to go as far as equity and inclusion in sports for women and other people with other identities. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just been like I said, really great to kind of use what I've learned off the track and see it in action and be able to bring some of that really important work to Bates, because there's definitely passion with other students as well. I'm definitely not the only one.
Right,
so
right. What any goals you have for yourself for the team this year?
I think I would love for the team to kind of continue with this really great energy that we've had. I feel like we've gotten super close, and maybe that's because of COVID and all the uncertainty. But I would love for just that really positive energy to continue. And of course, as far as postseason, I always love to have, you know, a big group kind of compete in New England's, et cetera, and on. We had a really big group at Nationals when it unfortunately got canceled.
Right, right.
So I would love that. Love to be back there and love to be back there with my teammates. So that's where we're headed, hopefully.
All right, Amanda Kaufman, thank you so much for joining us on the Bobcast. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Seniors John Mashansky and John Everett won the 3,000 meters and the weight throw, respectively, to pace the Bates men's track and field team on Saturday. But on this week's episode of the Bobcast, we'll chat with someone who didn't even compete for the Bobcats due to injury. First year Matthew Hamilton is a student photographer for Bates and quite the self-taught videographer as well. He made a highlight reel of the meet that you can find on the Bates Cross Country and Track and Field Instagram. And today, Matthew Hamilton joins the Bobcast to talk about his passion for athletics and multimedia. Matthew, let's start with track and field. You grew up in Massachusetts. How'd you first get into track and field, specifically into jumping?
So I started in my sophomore year of high school, and I wasn't the fastest kid. I started sprinting because it was all I knew at the time. And I realized that sprinting maybe wasn't for me. So I decided to pick up high jump in my junior year. And my coach there was amazing. And that was actually the last time I high jumped in high school because COVID kind of wiped out everything from that point on. But luckily, Coach Johnson found me and I'm here now. And it's like one of the best experiences of my life. So
yeah, what's it been like so far getting used to college track and field?
Oh, the team atmosphere is awesome. Like all of my teammates are amazing. I couldn't ask for a better group of guys. Everybody's so supportive. Like when you're injured, you still go to practice. You still support everybody. It's like the team atmosphere, even with the girls team as well, is just amazing. Yeah. So it's been a blessing.
Well, we'll lead into that because I think you have a minor injury right now. And so you were unable to compete this past weekend at the first meet of the year, but you did go down, support the team. And also did a cool little reel we saw on Instagram, a little video piece. You're a prolific videographer and photographer. How did you first get started with that?
Thank you, first off. I think I picked up, it was like a Rebel XS. It was like one of the oldest cameras ever that my mom had in the basement. And I started taking photos of like birds in my backyard. This was right before I got into Bates. So I contacted the Bates Photo Cats Club. And they posted one of my photos, and that basically got me into it, made me realize that I could maybe start doing this. So, yeah, and it's been uphill ever since working with you and Phyllis and everybody else. So,
I was going to say, you've been a student photographer here at Bates already, taking some shots of our sports teams. You got to shoot squash the other day for the first time. What was that experience like?
Oh, they're so good. Oh, my God. It's like I can't even wrap my head around the sport. It's just so complex. They're all, like, really amazing at what they do, and it was crazy to watch them.
And how'd that reel come together for the track and field meet?
Oh, I had it planned out for a while. So I released one beforehand of like a 7-second edit of, I think, a Biggie song. And yeah, and I had this like hype video for our first meet planned out. And I didn't know how I'd do it because I thought I'd be competing. Right. And it just so happened, unfortunately, that I pulled my hamstring like 3 days before the meet. So I took it as an opportunity rather than a hindrance. So I brought my camera to the meet and I just took like hundreds of videos and I compiled a nice little video over a Meek Mill song and it turned out really well. So I'm glad that I did that.
How long does that take you to complete, like the editing process? It's a short video, but you mentioned you have so many clips.
Yeah. So the filming took obviously the whole meet, but then when I got back, Sunday morning when I woke up, I got on my computer and I edited for around 6 hours because I also like to learn new things, and Adobe After Effects has like a bunch of cool effects, and I like sat there watching YouTube videos and all that stuff, and I learned everything I could, and then I went and did it, and it was awesome.
Are you mostly self-taught with this, or did you take any classes in high school and stuff?
No, I haven't taken any videography class. This is all self-taught.
So what was it like to start from scratch like that, I guess, kind of?
It's really fun because I know in a few years when it's like secondhand nature to me, I'm going to look back on the learning process and really admire it. So I'm just soaking it in while I can.
So from the track perspective, you were there obviously taking video, but what do you see from your teammates? What stood out to you at the meet?
Oh, I have one friend, his name's Colby. He hasn't had a meet in a while. And he was talking to me about how he doesn't know how he'll do and like how he thinks he's already like reached his peak. But he PR'd by 1/10 of a second, which placed him into New England championship already in the first meet. And he came in second in that meet. So he really surprised everybody and himself too, which was awesome. So I love seeing that. Liam Evans, our captain, making progress as a decathlete, was great to watch. His pole vault, his high jump, all that stuff. On the women's side, Becca and Amanda were awesome to watch in the hurdles. And also, the 4x4 running that uncontested was pretty funny with Truman Toga, Aiden, and Garrett.
Oh, yeah, the men's 4x4 was uncontested. And how do you think they approached it? Did you talk about them like afterwards? Like, how'd they approach it with no one to compete against?
Yeah, so I didn't get video of that because I was actually taking splits for the runners next to Coach Johnson. And the whole time, Coach Johnson was just like, it's just like practice, like, just treat it like another run. And I guess, yeah, they pull out some really nice splits, surprisingly, which is great.
Excellent. And then Bates Invitational this weekend. How excited are you to have a home meet here at Merrill Gym?
It's going to be awesome. I have a bunch of friends from the teams that are coming, so I hope I can be healthy for that. But, I think Patrick Fogarty might come out and take some videos for us for there. And just the environment's going to be great.
Excellent. Yeah, it just seems like there's a lot of creativity on Instagram right now in the Bates community. I mean, what have you seen from that in terms of, you know, different teams and different stuff we've seen popping up here, right?
Yeah, I feel like the videos and the photos really have an impact on the team because it kind of like, I guess, like brings them together. And when you can really see like what you're doing and how amazing it really is and in like high quality, it's like, it's really something else.
So what other sports did you play in high school? And what made you decide that you wanted to continue with track and field, I guess?
I played lacrosse, basketball, football, and track. And track was never at the forefront of my mind because my parents were always like, you have to play. We had like a rule in our house where you had to play one sport each season of the year. So I was always in four sports all season round. Or all year round, and track and field. I had quit lacrosse sophomore year to focus on football. And my parents were like, you can't not play a sport in the spring. So I was like, fine, I'll do spring track. And it just like, it just consumed. It was like the best decision my parents could have ever made. And I loved it, but I was so reluctant at first.
And it's a big team, right? Here at Bates. I mean, how do you get to know everyone, you know, kind of?
Oh yeah. We all do the workouts together, like boys and girls. So we're warming up right next to each other. We talk, obviously doing a practice in silence is never fun. So we like to fill the dead space with some banter, stuff like that.
And then what are some goals you have in your mind, maybe both from a track perspective this year and also from a more photography and video, perhaps?
I had a goal to make New England's in high jump and triple jump, which I'm excited to see how that goes. But videography mainly just like, just keep getting better. The numbers don't really matter as long as I can feel more confident in my skills and produce a quality of work that I'm happy with. That's all I really need for myself.
We appreciate your photography, of course, for, the communications office as well. Phyllis is a legend here. How has that relationship gone in terms of working with her?
Oh my God. I feel like I'm like Luke Skywalker with Yoda. She has like so much knowledge. It's insane. Like every time I talk to her, I learn something new and it inspires me to go shoot something else. It's crazy.
Awesome. Matthew Hamilton, thank you so much for joining us on the Bobcast. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You can follow Matthew's work on Instagram at Matthew's Pictures. That's MATHIEUS Pictures. And of course, you can follow the track and field teams on Instagram at BatesXCTF. In other Bates Athletics action, the men's basketball team fell at Amherst and Hamilton over the weekend, but Bates gets a chance to bounce back this weekend when the Bobcats host Tufts at 3 p.m., following Tuesday night's non-conference game with UMaine Farmington. The squash teams fell in a tight match to Amherst last Thursday, but both squads get a chance to get back on track this weekend. The men visit MIT Friday, and both the women and men play Wesleyan and Connecticut College Saturday at Tufts. Stick with GoBatesBobcats.com and the Bates Bobcats mobile app for the latest Bates Athletics news. And we'll recap all this week's action next time on the Bates Bobcast. Bates, Bates, my brother, my brother.